It's time for the truth. Will you join us in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? We're in the book of Romans, Romans chapter 15, verse 14, if you'd like to join us in the study today and read along, Romans chapter 15, verse 14. While you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to write us, our address here at the church is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you'd like to call us, phone number here is 217-847-2717. If you'd like to visit our website, www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. That's www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. Got many studies up there. Please that you would enjoy them. Our Constitution is there if you want to know what we believe. And then also our plan of salvation is there in verbal that you can listen to it and also read it. And so please enjoy that. You can download anything that's there. No charge at all. Just I want you to enjoy it and grow from the study. I pray that that be the case. And also if you'd like to email us, why it would be parkviewbible@gmail.com or parkviewbiblechurch@gmail.com. Now, if that was enough time for you to be to find your place in the Scripture, we're going to begin reading Romans chapter 15, verse 14. I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye are also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort, as putting you in mind, because of the grace that is given to me of Christ, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. I have therefore, whereof I may glory, through Jesus Christ in those things which pertain to God. For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ hath not wrought by me, to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed, through mighty signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about in Illyricum I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation, but as it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand, for which cause also I have been much hindered from coming to you. But now, having no more place in these parts, and having a great desire these many years to come unto you, whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you, for I trust to see you in my journey, and to be brought on my way thitherward by you, if first I be somewhat filled with your company. What a wonderful scripture to read and to enjoy. Let's go to the Lord in prayer now, Father. I thank and praise you that we can enjoy this study. Just guide and lead us now as we pour through your precious word as you had laid upon Paul's heart to record only by the leadership of your spirit. And as he speaks of where he is able to share the gospel, it is always in your direction. What he shares was always from your power and direction. What a wonderful testimony, and we pray that we would have an equal testimony of those words. Father, please that you would just guide and lead us now today. Touch every heart, those that do not know you as their Savior, that they'll be born again today. Please do not miss the opportunity of salvation. Today is the day of salvation. We're not promised another day, and so please, Father, that you'll touch every heart, that they will recognize your Son, the Lord Jesus, that he died on the cross. He died for my sins. He died for the sins of all the world. And all we need to do is to accept that free gift of salvation that he gives us. When he died on the cross and took our sins away, we have to accept that sacrifice, that offering. It isn't just a universal salvation that all of a sudden now are saved. All have the opportunity of salvation. but we must accept that gift of salvation that is offered to us. So please, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Look at that verse of Scripture, know that verse of Scripture, and enjoy that verse of Scripture. Guide and lead us, Father, please, through these precious words now, and grow us in your word. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we enjoy this study, and we look and realize that the joy that comes as, you know, we come back here to this 11th verse in chapter 15, and again, praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles. Praise the Lord. We need to do more of that. We need to share this joy that we have because we are born again. Now, if you're not born again, if you've not trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you have no joy. You say, oh, I'm happy. I've got everything I ever wanted. Until you know Jesus as your personal Savior, you don't know what real joy is. You don't know what the happiness of walking with Christ is. You don't know what real wisdom is. You may have a lot of knowledge, but it all comes when you accept the Lord Jesus as your Savior. And the Lord Jesus is the only. He is the only way. There is no other way. There's no other prophet. There's no other God out there that can bring you salvation and joy except the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, Jehovah's God. Please trust in Jesus today and walk with him. And if you've went another way and hoping on your baptism or church membership or on your morals, whatever you're trusting in, it's not enough. Jesus finished the work. Jesus completed it. Please, that you look to the Lord Jesus Christ today and be born again. This joy, again, can only come through the Holy Spirit. And the joy will come only when you come by faith and are saved, born again. In this 14th verse here of Romans chapter 15, Paul is reminding these folks that they have, sure, they're human like everybody else and have had their failures like everybody else. But the church as a whole, he really acknowledges them here as being a solid, sound church. I am myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. Full of goodness. What a wonderful statement there. Full of goodness. That is a great, there's three things here. They're full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and ready to help. And that's how I read this, able also to admonish one another. And that is not a statement of, okay, I'm going to be, you know, the sheriff here, and I'm going to be the one to rule and to reign. The purpose of that is able to see when a brother or sister is going the wrong direction, that out of the love of God we go get them and bring them back, not in a level of judgment, but in a position of a desire and a love to bring them back, that they will be stronger than ever. And look at that ye also are full of goodness. That can only come by them knowing Jesus Christ and surrendering to the Lord Jesus Christ, filled with all knowledge. Now, when God gives us knowledge and he gives us wisdom, those two, then, is something that is wonderful to use and to have the strength that we need. And so, filled with all knowledge. Before I was saved, I can't explain the difference between before I was saved and now as the Lord continues to help me and to teach me and to take learning and being able to learn. I always had a very difficult time in school. So for me to be able to learn to do something out in the world, in the business world, and to understand it, to be able to instruct or teach somebody else how to do it, is completely and totally by the knowledge God has given me and then the wisdom that He has given me to apply that knowledge properly. And I can't thank and praise Him enough for the abilities and the strengths that He has given me. It is all from God. It's all His giving, filled with all knowledge, full of goodness. You know, to have a desire in your heart to help someone, to build someone else up, even if it's, you know, it puts them in a position higher than you. But God has, you know, he gives us a heart. And we need to see that when we look to the Word of God, and as you come by faith to Jesus, that there's a soft heart there. There's a sweet heart there that desires to put God first. Then we put others first, and then comes ourselves. And so please understand that our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, if it wasn't for Him dying on the cross, God the Father sending Him, we got God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, if that work had not been completed, if the virgin birth, if the Lord Jesus had not been born of the virgin, if He would have been born from man, He wouldn't have been perfect. But He was not born of man, He was born of the Holy Spirit. And so as we come and we enjoy, and when you come by faith to Jesus and are saved, that is the first time that you can see. Now, some of these things we cannot understand how they come about. We don't understand how God has no beginning and no end. We don't understand how that all the sins of the world could be placed upon the Lord Jesus Christ. But it was, He did, I know it, I trust in Him, and I walk each day. I have the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, in my heart because Jesus died on the cross, because I trusted in Him as my Savior. And because of that, He has opened up so many opportunities for me and given me a strength that's beyond measure. And it's such a joy to walk each day. And then that last part again, able also to admonish one another. Again, ready to help, always there to build up. Is your spirit a spirit as a believer, if you're saved? Is it a spirit of criticism? Are you always criticizing someone? Are you always condemning someone for what they did or didn't do? Or is your heart a heart of thankfulness and rejoicing and joy? Because that's what it needs to be, and we need to be a servant, and we need to work hard and take what abilities God has given us and share those with others, because it's such a joy to share with folks what God has given us. And so when we look at that 14th verse, and I really didn't intend to spend quite this much time on it, but it's so important, because Paul looks at this church at Rome, and he says, you know, you're full of goodness, you have the love of Christ, you're filled with all knowledge, you're seeking God's will, and so you have knowledge and wisdom, and you're able to see as someone is faltering, and you're able to pick them up and strengthen them. What a joy, what a joy. And then he comes on with verse 15, he says, nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort, as putting you in mind, because of the grace that is given to me of God. Something that has been forgotten so often, and that is, how did I receive this grace? How did I receive the opportunity to have a soft heart? How did I have the opportunity to have this knowledge and to be full of goodness? How does that opportunity come? And Paul is reminding this church of Rome, and we need to remind ourselves, there's only one way, and that is the preaching of the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. By God's grace it is given to us, and there's no other way that it comes. I have watched in my lifetime many churches that preached the gospel, preached it with a great desire to see folks saved, to come to a point where they very seldom mention the gospel. They're speaking or preaching on social issues. They're preaching and teaching on and through different practices, through different they have learned something through a program somewhere. This is how you do it. But they've left out the gospel. And you can go from church to church, and the gospel is not presented. They don't hear the gospel. The gospel is not proclaimed. You can go for weeks, and no one will tell you about salvation and how to be saved. You're very religious. You're working very hard. But for what? If you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And I really believe that's what verse 15 is saying to the Church of Rome. You have it all. But remember how you got it all. You got it one way. And that is through the grace of God. You got that one way because you preached the gospel and you surrendered to that gospel and you come by faith to Jesus Christ and were saved and you begin that wonderful walk. That's how you got to where you are. That's how I can say you're full of goodness. That's how it can be reported you're full of all knowledge. That's how you've learned to discipline out of love to bring a brother or sister back. Only through the shed blood of Jesus Christ has that taken place. That is the only way. So please understand that even when things are seemingly so perfect, how could you ask for a better place? And I can praise the Lord that we have such a fellowship here. We have a fellowship here that is growing, that's full of goodness, and it's filled with knowledge. And they have a love for each other and a desire for each other to grow and to be built up and to help each other. We've enjoyed that. And I believe the reason that we've had such a pleasure of having that is because, without question, it is God's grace. But it also has been the willingness to never stop preaching the gospel. There has not been one Bible study. There has not been one Sunday message. There's not been one radio program that the gospel has not been presented every time, because everything we have got to be able to build upon a foundation. And that foundation has to be the solid rock of the Lord Jesus. It cannot be upon sand that's going to wash away. And that's what any religion that does not build upon the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ is just going to wash away. Oh, it may grow, it may have a great membership, but there is no strength and no power, and all without Christ will go to the lake of fire. Will burn in hell for eternity. And the preachers that are preaching and leaving out this gospel, your fires and your torments going to be greater than ever. What a sad, sad day. But I think here he's just reminding them, don't forget where you came from. Don't forget how you got here. And we need to do that always. You know, we have the Lord's Supper here, and it's when we have the juice and the bread, it's in remembrance of what Jesus has done on the cross. Remembrance of. We do it once a month here. The Scripture doesn't tell us how often to do it, but as often as you do it, do it in remembrance of me. We're to never forget the gospel. And the only way we're going to never forget it is that we continue to preach it. So no matter what area of the Scripture, whether I'm in Proverbs or whether I'm in Romans or whether I'm in the book of Acts, or it doesn't matter. The gospel is presented. It has to be. It must be. Because that's where the power and the source comes from. If you want to understand the Word of God, you need the Holy Spirit in your heart. You need to come by faith to Jesus and have that beginning. And then you've laid the foundation. Now we need to build upon that foundation. And that's the joy, building upon that foundation. But he's reminding them in verse 15, please never forget where that comes from. We are established in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's our foundation. And if we stop preaching the gospel, then it's not too long. And many a pastor or teacher, I believe, looks across the congregation and looks across their class and think, well, all of you are saved. You don't need to hear this. The more times I hear the gospel, the more joy comes into my heart. And if you're truly saved and if you're growing, you're never, ever going to not acknowledge and not enjoy the gospel. The gospel is the greatest news ever. There is no news that's ever proclaimed that is greater news than the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Paul's reminding them of that. Paul also here is reminding them that he has taken the gospel to the Gentiles. I am the minister here. It says that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. I am led by God to take the precious Word of God beyond the Jews and out to the Gentiles, and that they would be saved, born again. And the church that we are calling together right now is of the Gentiles. Now, there are Jews that are saved, that are born again, that join this church, but not under their Jewish sacrifices and under their Jewish traditions and ways, but through the same way that any Gentile will be saved, and that is by faith in Jesus Christ. As the Spirit of God convicts your heart, you need to call upon Him for salvation. He convicts your heart, the Spirit does. It does it through your Word. We're in His Word right now. The Spirit convicts your heart. You realize you're a sinner. And then He doesn't just drop you there. He introduces to you then the Holy Spirit. The Son of God, the Lord Jesus. The Holy Spirit introduces to you the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And you need to say, yes, you are my Savior. You died for me. You took my sins away. I thank you. I praise you. Come into my heart and save me. That simple. Please don't miss that. Don't miss that opportunity. Out of all these years, wonderful years, that I've been able to preach the gospel, it is never a time again that we don't take the opportunity to proclaim that precious gospel. And he said, I am the minister, and I've been sent by God. I didn't do this on my own. I didn't leave Israel. I'm a Jew. But God has called me to preach to the Gentiles. And so I have went outside by the call of God, by the direction of God, to preach the gospel. And it is, and it might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit, The Spirit of God is the leader that leads Paul to whatever path and whatever direction he needed to preach. But it was basically to the Gentiles, and yet he had such a love for the Jews that he never stopped preaching to them as well. And now in verse 17, I have therefore, whereof I pray, glory through Jesus Christ in those things which pertain to God. Everything that I do is God's doing. That's what Paul's saying. Everything that I do is because of my God. He saved me, and he is teaching me, and the words that I'm proclaiming to you and the places that I'm going are places and words that are given to me and direction that's given to me by and through the Holy Spirit. By and through the Holy Spirit. God the Father sent the Son, the Lord Jesus. He died on the cross to save us. We come by faith to the Lord Jesus only because the Holy Spirit convicts our hearts, shows us that we're lost, shows us we need a Savior, and we trust in the Lord Jesus. And then the walk begins. But the Spirit of God doesn't abandon us. The Spirit of God comes to reside in our heart. And now we have that leadership and that direction. And so the Holy Spirit then shows us and directs us what the Son would have us to do. And the Son is getting his direction from God the Father. It's hard to imagine that we have the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and yet they're one, and they're equal. One is no more powerful or greater than another, and yet they're all eternal, and yet each has their responsibility, if that's a good word to be used there. And so Paul is very clear here. What I have been given and what I have given to you is all been by the glory of God and by the direction and the will of God through the Holy Spirit. And verse 18, for I will not dare to speak of any of these things which Christ hath not wrought by me to make the Gentiles obedient by the word and deed. I think we need to listen to that, especially there in that verse 18, because sometimes when things seem to be going slow as a pastor, you know, not enough people are getting saved, and we don't see the church growing, and it just doesn't seem like things are working. And so we find this program, and this program, maybe it's a little bit different. You know, maybe instead of preaching the gospel so much, why it puts an emphasis upon baptism, because, you know, we're going to say that baptism saves. Now, I want to clarify that because I don't say that, and I know it doesn't. The Word of God does not give us any direction concerning the salvation through baptism or any other work, because we're saved by the grace of God, and God does that saving. We just turn to Him. That's all we do, and that brings us salvation. But man, through the generations, through the time, through the centuries, man has changed the Word of God that it might better fit. Well, you know, it's kind of nice to be able to say, I had part of my salvation. In other words, I'm going to be baptized, or I'm going to join this church, or as long as I keep taking the Lord's Supper, then I'll have salvation. As long as I confess every sin I've ever committed, as long as I continue to take the Lord's Supper, as long as I do all these things, then maybe, just maybe, I'll be saved. Paul says, I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ hath not wrought by me. He is following the leadership of the Holy Spirit, and so better we. We better follow the Holy Spirit as He directs us, not by our own feelings, our own ways, our own desires, but follow after the Holy Spirit to make the Gentiles obedient. In other words, to get them to get saved, we're going to try this program. We're going to change God's Word just a little bit. We're going to go to all this filthy rock, Christian rock music, because it's going to draw those young people in. It's going to send those young people straight to hell. That's what it's going to do. Please go back to the beautiful old hymns that tug on the heart and bring you to salvation through His precious Word. please, please trust in Jesus. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?